question I know you can appreciate. I only vaguely can appreciate what he did, because in order for us to appreciate that, we'd have to come from an agricultural background. And if we'd experienced crop failure, if we'd seen our livestock die, and we realized that was our livelihood, then you would have been able to appreciate what Noah was doing. He's offering 1/7. There is a movement and some brethren who want to offer and say that we're enforcing Old Testament law, encouraging people to give 10% or tithe. And I don't pull that over as a law. But Jesus said, Paul says, remember the words of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than receive. And look how blessed Noah was for this offering, which showed his trust in God.
That's right. It represented a real sacrifice on Noah's part, and probably much more than, as you said, we can appreciate.
Any other questions?
No other questions. Why?
Anybody have any more material? Smith? Smith.
So Benny had his hand up over there first.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, Benny.
Johnny, does the word sevens there mean seven pair or just 7 apples?
I forget whether it's Morris or Leupold addresses that issue and says in the Hebrew it would read seven sevens, but he viewed it as just a single seven. In other words, only 7 animals. I guess maybe an argument could be made for 7 pairs, but actually 6, 3 pairs and 1 supernumerary, as they put it, is the way that the scholars look at that who are acquainted with Hebrew. Of course, I don't know Hebrew, but I just have to take what they say.
Would you elaborate some on what the prison was that Peter mentioned?
Well, of course, I don't know that my view on it would be the only view that could be made, but I've always felt like the prison was simply the intermediate place where the antediluvians were. When our Savior died, he went to Hades, hell. And Peter said, my soul is not left in hell. Thou hast not left my soul in hell. So that's the intermediate place. Prison, although Jesus was not in the place of the unrighteous. Also, the angels that sinned were cast down to Tartarus, to hell. So I believe the antediluvians that were mentioned in Noah's time, at the time of Peter's writings, were in prison. I don't believe that was the time that the preaching was done to them, however. I believe the preaching was during the lifetime of Noah, that Jesus went through the Spirit, or by the Spirit, as the Scripture says, and preached to the antediluvians in the person of Noah. That's my conviction on it.
A lot of people raise objections to the scriptural account of the flood because it just does not seem logistically or humanly possible to accomplish all that. But we have to remember that there was a part that God played. There is some miraculous element there, because that's one of the things I think Morris says about the phrase, and God remembered Noah and his family. This is not just a great natural phenomenon that Noah was forewarned about and was able to prepare for, because God's, you know, as that whole event is used as a type of our salvation by Peter. And there's a part that God is responsible for and a part that we are responsible for. So in the case of Noah, there were elements that were Noah's responsibility. He apparently constructed the ark, he pitched it, he did everything that was commanded him by God, and everything else was in God's hands. And so when we look at the flood, we're looking at a divine salvation as well as a human preparation.
Thank you, I appreciate that. That is true. I believe that there were miraculous elements in it. In fact, even the dimensions of the ark, what would Noah have known? He was a landlubber. What would he have known about building an ark? But the dimensions of the ark are the same as were for the battleship Oregon, or the proportions, that is, and even the famous Titanic, the displacement of the ark of water was the very same. So Noah was in communion with deity, there's no question about that.
Those dimensions are the exact dimensions used by ship designers today for the most stable ocean-going vessels.
Right.
Okay, Ron Corbin.
Johnny, a comment and then just a question for clarity. And you know, in terms of speaking of the flood and the miraculous events, I think one of the things that's well for us to remember is, you know, without overdrawing the inferences that we can from the flood, because obviously there's many things we can't understand. Without overdrawing those inferences, still the flood more reasonably explains many things than the theories of men explain the things we find in the earth today. And in the realm of apologetics, you know, we're basically involved in what's the more reasonable. In that sense, I think the Bible account stands, you know, just so insurmountable, so wonderful. We shouldn't be apologetic for it, apologize for it.
Right. My question, I just didn't quite hear you. In Genesis 3, where he said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man is safe. And you said that related basically to that event of the judgment of the flood, not going back to Genesis 3:17. Is that what you said?
I think what I said was that there in Genesis later, when he said, I will not curse the earth anymore, that referred to the curse of the flood, not to the original.
Yeah, okay. I didn't
want in Genesis 3.
And the other is, you know, you mentioned the eating of meat, not eating the blood. And what did you say? Bearing a sword?
Governmental. In the compact that God made with Noah, he said that I didn't explain this, that whosoever by whatever man blood is shed, of him blood will be required. In other words, it required vengeance. It required the part of every person back in that time to cooperate in bringing a murderer to justice. And of course, this is the feature of government.
That was my question then. Like I said, I wanted to hear what you said.
Right.
And then is this kind of a hint of the idea of government?
Right.
In terms of its
restraining. Romans 13 said, he beareth not the sword in vain, you know, speaking of the government. Amen. Incidentally, you know, there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of things that are answered by viewing capitalism. Scientists scoff at that. But as Morris has pointed out, if there was a canopy that would contribute to vegetation being lush, this may explain why the dinosaurs are not with us. They were able to have vast amounts of vegetation to eat. I mean, those animals were huge and required that kind of idea. But when the flood changed everything, they perished. There were no more. And also, it may be that the oil that people are drilling, that comes as a consequence of all of that vegetation that was lost and buried underneath the silt sediment of the earth's changing features. And so there's a lot of questions that could be answered by viewing capitalism rather than evolution or something like that, is the cause of a lot of things.
Jimmy Kelly. Okay, Malvin Blayton.
Yes, in reference to what Ron was speaking of there about shedding man's blood, you mentioned the civil government now has the capacity to enforce law. Does that indicate that these people have a misguided view when they decide to, we as, for example, as church members, who need to oppose the government inflicting capital punishment, is that actually within the civil government has the authority to do that, we should be in opposition to it, is that what we're saying? Or is that...
I didn't particularly have that in mind, but I don't know that that's, that would be, I think that would probably be right.
I think we as Christians can't have anything to do with it, but I believe that civil government has that authority in their right.
I believe that.
The next question I'll ask, just a point of clarification. You mentioned there in Genesis 6, verse 4 about the giants and the earth. And I understand you described that, either that is a figurative term, giants there, referring to one of the bully and
right.
violent, that sort of thing.
Right. If you look up the definition of it in any of the Hebrew lexicons, it will render a feller, tyrant, bully. And we have to remember, verse 4 is not right under verse 2. There's a gap there. And even verse 4 says there were giants in the earth before it mentions this other thing, that they were born unto them, men of renown and so forth. So I don't think it has any connection with the angels, the quote, sons of God marrying the daughters of men, and the idea of angel marriage.
John Spratt.
Johnny, do you believe in evolution within the species?
Well, I think if you use the term evolution in a limited fashion, that probably is true. I know, just like when I mentioned the dog, you know, probably one dog was all that they took on the ark, but from it have come all the varieties. And so that's a chain. Evolution means change, so that's an evolution, I guess.
I have heard a doctor from paleontology suggest that it is only necessary that two of each species be in the ark because of evolution within species, which would allow us to have a collision instead of that.
Right, yeah. And, like I said, you could have small species of all of those. Really, there's no idea that they had to be an adult giraffe or an elephant or anything like that.
I appreciate the way you make
the presentation. Smith.
Addressing what Brother Sprouting brought up, is it possible to have evolution within a species? It's possible to have variation within a species.
Yeah.
And that variation, I believe, was part of God's design. You know, God, who knows the future, knows its unfolding, who, even before the foundation of the world, had planned his son to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Well, you know, realizing all that, being the infinite engineer of life that he is, he was able to design the various kinds or species so that there would be the ability of these creatures in the world that you describe after the flood to adapt, at least many of those creatures to adapt. You know, blueprint for life is in the DNA, it's in the cells. And God builds within that blueprint the ability for an organism to vary and to adapt, you know, to different circumstances in the earth. That does not imply that in any way that species evolves into another species or kind or into a higher species or kind. That's why we have the variety of dogs that we do. There could have been a dog kind on the ark from which has descended the variety of dogs that are in our world today. Everything from the Great Dane and the St. Bernard to the Chihuahua and other small varieties.
Wolves and cows.
Exactly. And the same could be true of many other creatures as well. I think it's, I don't know who, maybe Morris, maybe one of the other creation scientists I've read after, but they caution against using the word evolution.
Yeah, I don't
because of the philosophy that goes along with that. Speak of variation within a species, which is, you know, observable and for a reason. God designed the creatures to be able to change with a changing world.
That's like the word class and classes. You know, class
the classes present, so you all have a class. Of course, in a sense, we do, but I wouldn't use that word.
Do we have further questions?
Johnny, you know, we were talking about the dinosaurs fitting on the ark and so forth. Isn't it true that I've read three or four sources that claim that 90% of all the dinosaurs were the size of a chicken?
That's right. They're small.
So, you know, I think we leave the wrong impression sometimes that they're all giants, but they weren't all giants. Is it true, too, that in infancy they were probably smaller than a sheep?
I don't know about that.
I think Morris mentions that, I believe.
I've never seen a child like an adult dinosaur, much less a small one.
Johnny, going back to what Benny asked earlier about Peter and the prison, since the preaching took place by Noah, the Spirit speaking through Noah, Jesus, so on, is it not possible that the prison there is the prison of time, where God said 120 years and then comes the end? In other words, those people were living during that preaching in a prison of time. There was a limit. There was a judgment coming.
Sounds reasonable. I don't know if I'll change my mind. Do we have some time?
Yes.
I made a note or two here I want to bring out, that if I can find it right quick, some things that I think were interesting.
Okay, we have about 8 minutes, and since there are no further questions, Johnny can have this time, and after the end of the 8 minutes, then we'll have a break.
I'm really surprised that no one asked this question. How did the animals and men get to Australia, North America after the flood? Morris addresses that question in his book, and I'm not trying to sell this book, but because it does have Calvinism in it, and I think people need to be warned of that. But he does have an excellent presentation of much of the flood material in his book, The Genesis Flood. Morris believes that there was an ice age after the flood, shrinking the oceans, providing a land bridge across the Bering Strait and the Malaysian Strait also. He thinks that is a possibility. And then consider this question. I'm just asking you to consider it. Does Genesis 10 and 25 refer to division or splitting apart of the continent? Speaks of the separation of the land, or of the separation. There's another point that Morris makes that I think is well taken, when he says the geographical center of the Earth's land areas. You know, I'm told that the geographical center of the United States is somewhere up in Kansas. The geographical center of the Earth's land areas is located within a short distance of Mount Ararat, according to recent computer studies. So that was certainly the most beneficial place for people to leave and disperse from the ark, was where the ark landed. I might just mention that two of the books that were most helpful to me was Leupold's commentary, and this used to be a part of Barnes Notes. It's not anymore. They've substituted another set in Barnes Notes. But Leupold is still available, and Leupold is a very conservative scholar. He explains even that JDP and E theory quite well. The flood, a lot of that takes place there, and he gives you documentation about that. And Morris' book, The Genesis Flood, are two that I would recommend if you want to study more on this.
Do you have any more? Okay, let's break.